Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of We Have Thoughts, our Conversations with Oscar series. Today we're reviewing Joker, written and directed by Todd Phillips. Also written by Scott Silver. Missed that. Starring Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz, and Frances Conroy. And it has been nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
The most, I believe, right?
This one and...
I think tied with Once Upon a Time
in Hollywood. Okay. It's nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Cinematography, Costume Design, Makeup and Hairstyling, Original Score, Film Editing, Sound Mixing, and Sound Editing. I'm one of your hosts, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And this is going to be a lot, so buckle up.
Yeah, we had to take a collective breath before we started because...
We also waited a day and a half.
Yeah. I could have waited longer, honestly, but
I could have waited till the day before.
I'd rather just want to get it over with.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do we start?
Let's start with Best Picture.
Do you believe it deserves to be here?
I was just telling Joy and Crystal before we started that I found a tagline in a review that I was like, oh, this explains the movie for me in general. Mm-hmm. And it was from Variety did a critics debate, someone that really liked it and someone that didn't.
I love those.
It was Gleiberman and Peter DeBruge. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Peter DeBruge who said, it's a smart movie for dumb people.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I was like... Yes, because the people who are in love with this are like, they don't get it. They don't get it. And the people who have criticisms about it get it.
So that kind of ties in with an article, the like one main article that I read because I love David Elric, who I believe did write it.
Shout out, David, I love you.
A reviewer, editor, I believe, of IndieWire. He wrote a thing titled Why Fight Club is the Movie That Joker Failed to Become.
I've never seen Fight Club.
Me either.
But in it he goes, okay, so for people who have seen it. So it has a lot of the same, not a lot of the same, but it has very similar elements. Someone who's kind of downtrodden and disillusioned with the world. And then a trigger happens and I know the rest of
Fight Club. That right. was ruined for me.
I did not.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to say, but I know.
But a trigger happens and then it changes their view of the world. But basically that both of them try to find identity or some sort of freedom through violence. Mm-hmm. And so he was just in his article, he was writing how... in Fight Club, towards the end, they become, you know, the veil is lifted off their eyes and they see that they kind of become exorcised of that violence. Mm-hmm. Like that violence I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, Owen Gleiberman said that someone who comes alive through hate.
Right. Rather than the opposite, that like once you take that violence out, then they kind of really start to see mm-hmm. the world and themselves fully. So it's a really interesting article. I'll probably have to link it on Twitter once we post this. It's very interesting because I'm not sure where exactly my thoughts are on this movie. I've been every time I try to think about it since the 2 days ago that we watched this, I'm just like very confused because I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
I
just have a lot of question marks.
I feel like it's not as the question, is it good or is it bad? It's not as simple
than that. Yeah.
But I would argue that it might belong here. I can see why people like it and I can see why people hate it. And yeah. I'm neither really. I'm more like in the middle.
I am confusion.
I mean, I definitely will never see it again.
Same.
And if there's a sequel, I'm never seeing that unless I have to. But let me just preface this by saying that, like, I'm terrified of clowns. So I would not even touch this if I did not have
Crystal,
to.
Crystal, like, hit her face for, like, a good chunk of this movie.
I literally had, a small panic attack because my heart is racing really fast. it especially that's submarine. That subway scene was a lot to handle. Like, I started to look at the Entertainment Weekly right there. So I like was looking at his face so I could kind of see a corner of my eye what was going on. But then I straight up was like, nope.
Thanks, not Stephen Amell.
Head down. I can't even, I'm not even going to.
That was an arrow.
Owen yeah. Lieberman said that scene, when Arthur kills the guys on the subway, mm-hmm. that it puts us squarely on his side. And I was like, I understand what he's saying.
Right, I get.
Because this guy who's been beaten and beaten down and beaten down and beaten down.
Literally.
And then it happens again. Mm-hmm. Which, just for the record, how dare they use Send in the Clowns.
Oh my God.
In that way, I am furious. I want.
What is that song from?
It's from A Little Night Music. It's Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
One of my favorite tweets.
Another great song. It's a beautiful song. When you hear those opening notes, it's like. And they fucking ruined it for you.
One of my favorite tweets about it is he says the least believable part of Joker is that college age bros on the subway would really know all the words to Send in the Clowns.
I was like, why do they know this? This makes zero sense.
I was trying to figure out what song they were singing. I was like, I don't know what the fuck.
Also, this like is. That was so on the nose. Like, well, I guess that was a point, but like, I don't know.
Some things in this movie like are a little too on the nose.
I understand like seeing our quote unquote hero. Being
or a protagonist
again.
Yeah
I don't think it's a hero at all.
Well, some people
believe so.
Or it's hero worship of a terrible character.
So like if I isolate just that scene alone and I think of just that scene, not necessarily like the context that it's happening mm-hmm. in or whatever, absolutely I feel for this guy 100%. There's no it was completely unnecessary for them to attack him the way they did. This sort of shit does happen, and so it's like very, very unfortunate.
They were assholes.
They were fucking assholes.
But I don't.
And unfortunately, he doesn't have the physical means to fight back. And unfortunately, like, he does have this thing that, like,
right,
exasperates the problems.
Like
in his
I said,
life.
I get it, but I don't think I can be on. Like, that does.
I don't think that justifies everything that happened afterwards. I think that. When they're explaining it later on and they're like, oh, well, these rich guys, I don't know if they said Wall Street or not, but they work for Mr. Wayne or whatever and blah, blah, blah. They deserved it. And I'm like, okay. So there's, not to compare it to a different movie, but like Hustlers, all the Wall Street guys on there, that's fine that they stole from them. They got plenty of money. They're fine. They're not hurting for anything.
They didn't drug them.
Before the drugs part I'm talking about. You steal a little money from rich people.
I mean, yeah, drug dealing is not as bad as shooting them, but
fair.
Still.
But I just don't think that's justifiable enough for the what happened.
So I actually saw that happen. I lived in New York for a time, and some person on the subway was, they were laughing really loud, and it was really weird, and I was, like, very uneasy, and I don't, it was kind of happening a little ways, and he had a card, and he handed it to her. So I've actually seen that happen. That's why I was freaking out because I saw that happen in real life. And then when I was in elementary school, I went to a church and one of the ladies, whenever she would cry, she would also laugh. So whenever things were happening, like prayer or whatever, she'd get like emotional. She would start to laugh. And it was like very haunting to me. I was like, I mean, I know she's laughing, but like, this is so odd. But yeah, I saw that happen in real life.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts.
He didn't get beaten up, though, did he?
No. It was a lot. You know, she was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And so she was, like, nice about it. But I did see that. I actually saw that happen.
Wow.
There's a lot of confusion, and I haven't done my research on this, so forgive me if I'm completely wrong. But there's a lot of confusion that this is a made-up illness that he had because it's not in the DSM-5, but it's a neurological disease or condition. So it wouldn't be in the DSM. So people who were going...
What's the DSM?
The DSM, let me look up the exact... What it stands for. Yeah.
It's cold in here.
I think it was...
Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Oh, it's okay. Like your anxiety disorders. It's what... personality disorders and things like that. That's what the DSM-5 or the DSM is. And this is the current one is the fifth edition that has been updated. So it wouldn't be categorized within the DSM. It's not a mental disorder. It's a neurological
condition.
Yeah, probably from all the abuse he suffered from as a child.
Brain damage, right. For sure.
It's a condition. So people out there who are like, it's not even real, and they're using this fake whatever.
Like, the whole movie is fake. It's about a comic book character. Calm down. Like, I don't understand why.
People that, like, look at obviously fiction that we're watching on TV or reading or whatever, and they're like, it's not real.
It's not a documentary.
The whole thing is a story, so it's not real.
It's not a documentary. It's like, everybody shut up and watch it. Yeah. Or okay. Don't. Whatever.
So I read a couple of reviews yesterday, and the New York Times review by A.O. Scott annihilated this film.
Really?
Listen, I'm going to need
to send it to me.
Listen to this sentence. Besotted with the notion of its own audacity, as if willful unpleasantness were a form of artistic courage.
So that goes back to whenever this movie first came out and everyone was talking about, I don't know how to pronounce the word. Is it nihilism?
Nihilism.
Nihilism. It's just so easy for people to, it seems so easy for people to just be nihilistic.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, everything sucks. The world is garbage. I hate everything. Blah, blah, blah. It's so much harder for you to actually be like, well, yes, everything sucks, but let me find some points of, like, virtue in this meaningless existence, you know? I think it's just so easy to be like, it's dark and gritty, so that makes it art. That just is, like, annoying to me.
I kind of felt like... Hold on, I lost my thought. Someone else talk.
Hi, thought.
What did you guys think of Joaquin Phoenix's performance?
Well, I think the movie works because of his performance and the score. I actually haven't seen that many Joaquin Phoenix performances, but to me, it was the best I've ever seen. His face does a lot of great work.
He does a lot of good face acting. I will give him
especially
that.
Especially because you can see the pain in his eyes when he's laughing. Like, he's laughing, but he's hurting.
He's hurting.
So much back here.
The choking when he was, like, laughing, but trying to, like, hold it back, that stifle.
Oh, my heart.
Ouch. That one hurt.
It really did.
And
I've seen that.
I've seen him in other stuff.
I guess I have too.
I guess, like,
I watched The Master, but I kind of fell asleep, so I don't remember if that's good or not. Oh, I saw Signs, and I saw what's the other
Gladiator?
One? No, what's the oh, yeah, is he in the Village?
I think so.
I don't remember.
But I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen a lot. It's very much a performance, very transformative.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's really thin because he's like, you know, frail, but really all those stairs he's been walking, that's why he's so thin, because wow, that's a lot of stairs.
Which those stairs are in Brooklyn, and right now they are overcrowded because everyone wants to go and take pictures on him.
I'm all right.
a tourist attraction.
I think he's very haunting.
He does really, really well. I just always have a problem with in movies, like Christian Bale does it a lot too, where he like loses weight or will gain weight and will just like drastically go back and forth.
But he has like, but Christian Bale said before that he makes sure he gets with a nutritionist and he does doing it healthy weight, mm-hmm. so it doesn't affect his heart, that kind of thing.
I haven't really looked into Joaquin Phoenix's and how what way he went about it, but I just think that's like,
he's just a very interesting person. Like, he, do you remember, Anna, when we watched the cults thing, the Children of God of, what is it? Children of God cult.
Which one's that?
So the hippie ones or the sexual abuse when they were children. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Well, his parents were in that. Joaquin Phoenix's parents. They left because that's when they started the whole, like, hey, everyone, you're required to have sex with someone within the group. And his parents were like, what? We're out of here. So him and
Rose McGowan
was also in it. They grew up in there. So Joaquin Phoenix was still a kid when they left. But his parents are very, their family is so interesting. Very like,
I wonder
out
how
there.
Old River was when they left.
I don't know. Well, Joaquin King was like maybe 5, I think.
Oh my God.
I don't know how old they are. But yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. One thing, and I wrote this down while we were watching it, was Joaquin Phoenix is one of those method actors.
Yeah.
And he goes above and way above and beyond. apparently there were times on set where he would just walk off because he wasn't feeling it. And people had to wait around for him and, like, coax him out of his trailer by saying, "We have crackers out here for you," because he was starving himself. And I was like, I can't support an actor or performance by someone who's practicing something so unhealthy. And putting all of those people in that position of, like,
right,
we're trying to make this thing and we're trying to do our jobs, but you're making it
disrespectful to everyone.
It's so disrespectful because, and it's so dangerous to himself.
Right.
Like, I couldn't stand there and watch someone putting themselves through that and be like, this is okay. Like, it's not okay. And, like,
praise him for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I cannot support that.
No. Especially because, like, this is obviously costing a lot of money to make. You've got hundreds of cast and crew here, people that are working on this film, and you're just going to, like, movies. I was watching the Directors Roundtable the other day, mm-hmm. and someone was talking about if you don't get the shot, you don't get the shot. And, like, the sun goes down and then all your shots are ruined and you can't, there's no continuity or blah, 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 whatever. Like, it's seriously going to fuck some shit up for the film. Like, then you'd have to reschedule and rehire and, like, redo all of these things. Like, no. Method acting.
I mean, it gets the job done, but it's dangerous as hell.
Yeah. Especially in a character like this.
Which is the only time it's ever really applauded.
Yeah, because, like, the who was it?
Robert Pattinson.
And J-Lo, actors on actors.
But I wonder if there's any actor who has done method acting and has won awards, but we just never know about it because
they just think they're being a good, like Tom Hanks, everyone says he's such a good person.
Same with
he's like method acting all the time.
What's the Daniel Day-Lewis is also a method actor,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
but he's in the sense where, like, when he played Lincoln, he was like, everybody dress me as Lincoln, and he stays in the voice, he stays in the stance, he stays in all that stuff. And there's people when they meet him at the red carpet like, oh you're not, oh okay, now I know who you are now.
Viggo Mortensen too.
Yeah.
So really?
Yeah, he would stay in character, like, during Lord of the Rings. I'm not sure if he does it in every role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know enough about him, but I know during Lord of the Rings he never was without his sword. Uh-huh. Which is, like, a very important part of the story.
Yeah.
I think that's okay because, like, especially they're on set because they're always taking breaks and
they have to stop in bars and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
that's so random.
Interesting.
I would love to see someone method acting being like a saint, like an angel, like someone just really, really great. Someone that's just like, oh, I'm method acting. I'm a rich person that gives away my money.
But I don't want to see that because then that means it's okay. Yeah, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, but they're being a nice person. So, like, is that bad?
But then when the movie's over, they go back to being
a shitty person.
A shitty person?
Well, no, but like.
But by saying it's okay for these people to do it, we're saying it's okay for everyone to do it. You know?
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. It bothers me deeply.
Method acting is not great.
It's not good for you. It's very dangerous. Yes, I would agree with that.
As we saw from the last person who played the Joker.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah. Which Jared Leto? Talk about.
No.
We don't even count him.
I'm not even going to talk about that.
But I kept seeing, like, method acting with him. Reviews, and I was like, why are they fucking talking about Jared Leto? And
then he didn't do shit for that role.
Yeah, he was.
It's interesting. Like, I wonder. Okay.
Also, like, because he also did, like, really, like, nasty, perverse sort of, like, quote unquote pranks, he called them, on set and to, like, Margot Robbie and stuff like that. Like, no,
I feel like that's an excuse. Like, oh, I'm playing the Joker, so I'm going to be, like, real crazy and rude and crude. Right. And, like, no, just be an actor. Like,
your job is to fucking act.
Did you guys see that thing on Jimmy Kimmel when he was promoting the movie? Joaquin Phoenix was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and Jimmy Kimmel was like, yeah, we have some footage from, you know, behind the scenes here. Can you tell us what this is about? And he played a clip of Joaquin Phoenix, like, lashing out at some someone behind the scenes.
No.
Like, can you stop fucking whispering? It's always with the fucking whispers. Like, I can fucking hear you. Like, going after her or this person. I don't know why I'm saying her.
Oh, no.
And then afterwards, Joaquin Phoenix was like, oh, this is really awkward. Like, you weren't supposed to see that. And it was this really awkward moment. And then the next day, his people came out and said it was supposed to be a joke.
Nah.
And it was supposed to be one of Jimmy Kimmel's pranks, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel does. And there's a part of me that does not believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
I feel like Jimmy was like trying to expose him for the dick he was.
And we know how Jimmy is. Like, come on.
I feel like if it was a joke, Jimmy would have
been
in it. And, yeah, and been like, haha, look how crazy you are.
Like, we as a society know what Jimmy Kimmel is like. And so we would know if it was a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and it just felt too awkward. And the moment just sat there. And he was so awkward about it.
Well, he's been awkward. I remember when
he has social anxiety and he's very awkward. But
yeah, whenever he
But that's like calling him out on something, though. So that's a different kind of.
What did he do, Crystal?
When he was on David Letterman a long time ago, he did that weird thing with when he played Bob Dylan and he was like glasses and long hair. And he was just like the whole interview was so weird
because he was in character.
Yeah. Yeah. And he kind of justified his weirdness and rudeness because like, oh, I was getting in character. I was blah, 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 blah.
Because that's when I think that was the same year he did where he presented at the Academy Awards or something. And he like took out his gum and put it on the podium.
I forgot about that.
And everyone was like, oh my God, something is wrong with him. And then it was a few years of like Joaquin Phoenix is going nuts.
Yeah.
Wasn't he supposed to retire?
I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
I thought I heard him saying he was going to retire after
her.
I never saw that movie either.
Me either.
That movie was pretty
Question.
Good.
So do you think he deserves Best Actor Award?
Let me see who he's nominated against.
I don't know what my paper
My
is.
Question is, was it good acting or a lot of acting?
No, I think it was. Ooh, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
Like,
no,
did I feel bad for him or was he like.
I think if it wasn't in his face, the way his eyes winced in pain, I'd say it's the acting. Because if he didn't have that like small detail to me, it would just be kind of something anyone else could do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because to me, face acting is a lot of it. And you can pretend to beat somebody up or dance in a bathroom by yourself. But if you are like emoting things with your face and we as the audience can see what he's feeling without saying anything, that's acting to me.
Anna, rebuttal.
I mean, I don't.
It's a great question, though.
Yeah.
There are times where I agree with that. But there were also moments where I was like, I feel like he's just pushing it on me.
No, I agree.
And I feel like it's like. Too much.
I feel like that was the movie as a whole. The movie as a whole, it feels like. Okay, so hold on. Let me have a little note here. Let me go back to.
Also, for best actor, I really don't have a horse in the race that I really care for.
You don't have a horse?
No.
She hasn't raced in a long time.
I mean, I love Adam Driver. He can win it. Do I think he deserves it for Marriage Story? No, no.
This is a.
It's a weird year for actors for me.
I've seen three of these five performances now, and it's just a really strange, group of actors.
Of that group?
Of those three that we've seen.
Like, I don't have a strong favorite.
I don't either. No. But I can see why Joaquin is getting all the attention.
He has done a lot of work.
He is doing the most acting out of everyone.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's putting in a lot of effort. He's trying really hard at his job. And I guess since it's his job, that would be fair, right?
So I feel, okay.
It goes
so,
back to, like I said, I'm sorry, Crystal.
No, good. You're okay.
It just goes back to what I said, and I feel like I can't support a performance
and
by someone.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're not wrong in that.
Doing
it's dangerous,
so unhealthy.
And it's not, it's, yeah. You're right. Because
a great performance doesn't justify you being a dick.
No, you're completely right. That is, yes.
And people should be held accountable for what they do. Whether in front of the camera or behind the scenes.
Because we never heard anything of Heath Ledger being rude to anyone.
Mm-mm.
Ever. And he was fantastic.
What was the note you found?
So, yeah, sorry. I feel like sometimes this movie, it was trying to present... like to ask the viewer like social problems as if they were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, guys? Rich people are mean. Rich people don't like the poor people.
What?
Rich people are terrible people. Like, that's what I felt like it was trying. Are you okay?
Thank you, broker.
It feels like it's trying to be profound,
but there's no weight behind it.
Yeah, and I feel like that is Todd Phillips's problem.
And one thing from the New York Times Review, he said that the look and the sound, the cinematography and the score gave it this heavy gravitas and this wonderful weight. That's but there was score. Nothing backing
it. That's what I'm saying. Like, the score and Joaquin Phoenix are what make the movie. If it didn't have this really a lot of acting from Joaquin and the beautiful strings that create such drama from Hilda, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name.
I have it here.
Hilda, can you pronounce it?
Gudnadottir.
Exactly.
Gudnadottir.
If it wasn't for those two things, I almost guarantee you this wouldn't be getting as much praise as it is.
Do because you think
it's those two things that make it work.
Do you think it would be getting all this attention if it weren't such a accessible character, if it wasn't a Marvel, a DC?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Here's the thing, is that like a lot of people, whenever the reviews for this were coming up, compared it back that like it's a regurgitation and a less strong version of Taxi Driver.
I saw a lot I've of things between.
I haven't seen it. I wanted to watch before I watched this, but I didn't
I saw
get
a lot of
to.
Notes comparing it to Taxi Driver and, oh God, I thought I wrote it down.
There was a play that the comic was actually, not a play, a novel, something that the comic was based off of. And I can't exactly remember what it's called. I just had it.
I could have sworn I wrote it down. Taxi Driver and like all the funny people or something. It was another
something
Robert,
like that.
Robert De Niro's Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Picture. Both star, yeah, I just said that. Never mind. Watch King of Comedy.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah.
I saw that there was a lot of references to that, and I was like, I put those down as something to watch for comparison.
Yeah, I would want to watch Taxi Driver. I feel like that would be really interesting, and especially because it's like one of Robert De Niro's like his, it's him,
right?
It's like his biggest, of his biggest things. I would like to see it.
So I think it's interesting that I kind of compare this a little bit to Parasite in the sense that it's social class mm-hmm. issues, and it's interesting to see how two different sides of the world see social class and how they would go about it kind mm-hmm. of a little bit. So one reviewer I read said, you're either a Joker person or a Parasite person. I thought that was very interesting.
Because, again, I'm going to go back to this. I feel like Parasite was a smart movie for smart people. And yeah. This is a smart movie for dumb people.
Yeah, you're right.
So, also in reading a lot of the reviews, I kept seeing the word incel. And I had no idea what it meant. And I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands for the involuntarily celibate. So, it's those people who are like single and they're like, nobody likes me and I can never get laid and it's all their fault, essentially.
Like, I try to be women's friends, but I try to date women, but they all just friend zone me.
Yeah,
those kind of people.
And a lot of the reviews and a lot of things on Twitter were saying this is Arthur Fleck is the king of incels. You know, everything happens
just,
to
like,
me.
The fuck out.
It's everybody else's fault. I did nothing wrong.
Well, okay.
But then again, like, it doesn't really. Yes, but also, like, he is a mentally.
He's been abused since literally childhood. Yeah. So it's not as simple as, like, that, mm-hmm. I think. You know? This is where the debate comes in. It's like, yeah, his horrible upbringing and him being, you know, tortured and all these other things doesn't justify his actions later, but, like, it's complex and like watching the movie I was getting like so anxious because I know what was gonna happen. I know that he's gonna like start to spiral and get horrible and do these horrible things. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I know what's gonna happen.
And it was so so violent and so
it was
brutal.
So jarring. It was so it was so like literally visually explosive. Like everything was turned up to 10. Everything was like in your face. There was a lot of close-up shots of the violence.
How do you feel about all the violence in comparison to like today's climate, like what we're going through? I just feel like this was not a smart, especially like all the scenes with like the policemen. I was like, with the police brutality and all shootings
kind
every
of
day, like it's hard for me to think that this was
a good time for this to come up because it's kind of insensitive
and we're supposed to feel like he's justified in his choices because he was hurt and he was so, like, because he came alive through the violence. Like, we're supposed to be like, yay, he finally stood up for himself, and we're supposed to I don't know, I find that confusing and I don't like it.
Yeah. I think if it had a purpose and a message, this movie, then it wouldn't feel as, like, heart-wrenching.
So
heart is, like, brutal to the sensibility. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Speaking of, in this culture, in this climate, all of that, there was one interview that Todd Phillips gave to Vanity Fair that was kind of like a big talking point whenever it happened. When he was like, he left comedy and wanted to start making dramas because woke culture ruined the genre. Yeah, I wrote that down
too. He says, go try and be funny nowadays in this woke culture.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And like, where is it?
The full quote following Anna's is, there were articles written about why comedies don't work anymore. I'll tell you why. Because all the fucking funny guys are like, fuck this shit, because I don't want to offend you. When your comedy, is not, if you're like, oh my God, I can't be funny because I have to offend people. It's like that meme I showed you yesterday. It was like, oh, my comedy, I have really this dark sense of humor, when really you're just being fucking racist. Or like homophobic
Be a better comedian then.
Be smarter. Yeah. Write better. Like,
it's like, they get better because they can't make fun of anyone anymore. We're like, well, you weren't funny to begin with. You were just being rude.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this is also nominated for costume design. I'm not really sure why, though.
Bitch. Don't even get me started.
Probably mostly for that suit at the end.
Which
is so stupid.
Let me tell you that it is not that hard to find a suit, because one of my friends actually went to a costume party as Joker and found the exact same pieces.
Yikes.
Like, you do not get an Oscar for costume design when I can find the same shit in Target or Banana Republic or wherever the fuck I go. That shit is not hard to find.
I mean, I liked maybe Bruce Wayne's, like, turtleneck he was wearing. That was very cute. But that's really it.
I did like seeing, because at the very beginning when we first see his, like, distorted back in the locker room and he's getting ready.
Such a terrifying shot.
His shoulder blades, like, fucked me up.
Like, protruding out.
But anyway, the guy was, it wasn't then. I'm sorry. It was when he got back home to his mom and she's like, look at you. You're so skinny. You've lost so much weight. And then all of his clothes, we can see how big and huge and baggy they are. So that I did appreciate. And, like, even his underwear, you can see, like,
it's big on him.
It's massive on him. Yeah. It's literally two people could fit in there with him. So I thought that was a nice touch. Like,
that could be why.
If they made a comment like, you've lost so much weight, you're so skinny, and then he was wearing fitted clothes.
Yeah, that
I think
sense.
I would have an issue with that.
I feel like that's a simple, like, costume choice. Yeah. Like, that's not Oscar worthy.
I'm not
worthy.
Saying that's Oscar worthy, but I'm saying, well, I noticed, saying that, I noticed that,
it makes sense. Yeah.
At least they made it make sense.
I just
sense.
If I compare it to, like,
Little Women
or even Once Upon a Time, like, that's very distinctual. Yeah. It's very, like, this pieces they had
very
to have
specific.
To, yeah, specific. And this just felt like a,
and this was time specific. Like, this was definitely set in,
when,
like,
was this set in, you know?
It definitely, well,
because it didn't give us, like, a specific time. But I wrote on here because I was like, the decor and styling, I was thinking the 70s.
And technology and the cars.
Like, the TV, the cars, yeah.
I read two different, in the reviews I was reading, I read something about the 70s and then I read 80s. So maybe late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
We should have known that by the wardrobe.
Exactly.
But we didn't. So how is this proof right there that it should not be in this category?
I agree.
Whatever.
Yeah, because, like, Robert De Niro's suit was a very generic suit that I would see, like, that I could see any time between, like, 1960 and, like, 1980-something.
And then the women's clothes didn't.
No. They weren't specific enough.
No.
And it's not even because, like, even, like, where he lived in the area he lived that was, like, not as affluent, obviously, as where the Waynes live or whatever. There was no specifics. There was no particulars in, like, what Zazie Beetz' character was wearing or, like, the guys on the train that he ends up killing.
Right.
There was nothing specific to, like,
exactly.
Their suits or their tailoring. Tailoring is always a big distinction
yeah.
between decades because if you wear like a tuxedo pant, that's very that's a very decade specific thing.
Right.
If you wear like skinny jeans, that's also specific. High waisted and like a baggy hip, that's different. So like there wasn't anything in particular. Maybe I need to do more research as far as like costuming and if they did work specifically towards that, but I couldn't see it. So I don't think
it could have been.
I can't see it in a film.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
It could have been as simple as like having a character on the little kid's backpack that we see or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that character was from that time. Like, even that's or super like simple.
Commercials.
Or like,
yeah.
Shoes. I think shoes are a
big distinction. Shoes are also a big tell. Yeah, you're right.
I didn't really see anything that jumped out to me.
Other than him.
And yeah. I would know because I would know.
Yeah, I mean, I think us who are like, we are not like fashion, like.
We're fashion illiterate.
But we're aware of like.
Right.
What distinctual fashion is in time, whatever. So we should know more or less what time it's set in through the costumes. And I didn't feel that at all.
Yeah.
So I think it being here is stupid. Sorry.
What do you think
about? Who else is in this category? I'm sorry.
The Irishman, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Which Irishman is also time
specific.
Because they go back and forth in time in that one. But I guess we'll get there when we get there. But Jojo Rabbit, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, okay. That's everything else is very time specific.
Which I don't feel like you have to be time specific.
No, absolutely not.
It helps.
This one definitely like missed a mark.
Yeah,
it missed opportunities.
When it's time specific, it's more obvious to see. Oh, this is why.
Yeah.
So when
you can see the work,
right?
And
when it's not time specific, it's a little bit harder to see the details.
I feel like most time specific, most movies within awards like this are time specific.
They usually are.
Black Panther, that was like a futuristic type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not nominated, but Dolomite Is My Name also was a really great example because it's even though it's set in
the
70s. Why
was that not in here?
Girl.
Ruthie Carter got an Oscar last year.
She won. I'm just so whatever. That's also the same thing, but with her, it's 70s clothing in the same type of look, but her fabric choices are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And her color palette is very interesting. That, to me, warrants a nomination. Mm-hmm. Not like some suit you can buy at like Goodwill or something.
Yeah.
But whatever.
How do you feel about makeup and hairstyling?
Garbage.
Ma'am,
garbage. Why is it
here? I can go to any Halloween store any September or October of the year.
Yeah.
Buy some white face paint makeup, red, blue, whatever the fuck colors.
Although
I did
like the consistency of the way he was like
the texture was
on.
Really nice. I did appreciate the depth of field that they used to shoot his close-ups of his makeup because you could see the graininess of it, and then like it's a very narrow depth of field, so it was like you were just focused on that and everything else was blurry.
Yeah,
that was interesting. But that doesn't necessarily mean like I feel like a lot of people could do that makeup. I don't feel like it's a specific set of skills that you have to do that. You know,
that was the only specific makeup in the movie. Everyone else wasn't really wearing. Like his mom didn't wear any.
Robert De Niro maybe was like a little powdered. I saw him look a little powdered.
Are they
powdered.
Counting his fake teeth as makeup and hairstyling? Because I guess.
Oh, Robert De Niro had fake teeth?
I'm assuming so. I don't know.
I don't know. He probably has good health hair. It's probably his real
teeth.
He's
a white rich man, so probably.
Yeah. Bless you.
You can do it.
It's gone. It's gone.
All right.
Sorry. I've been sneezing.
I think if you compare this to like other nominees like Bombshell or Judy.
Which Bombshell
or Maleficent. Like those are.
Charlize Theron look like fucking what's her name.
So that's what I mean. Like if you compare. Why is it here? Why?
Maybe it was just filling out the category.
Stupid.
It's not like you didn't have. It's so not like dumb. There wasn't other things that could have been here.
I know exactly. Okay, what do you think about adapted screenplay? How does it feel fair into that?
I feel. I don't know.
I feel
like I have issues itself as a screenplay because of what we were talking about earlier about it being weightless and empty. It didn't. What it tried to do, it didn't do.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Yeah.
So as a screenplay itself, I don't agree. Adapted though, I don't know enough. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like so much is this of like, I'm uncomfortable, which makes me not know. Like, I'm just so like uncomfortable with the whole thing. So I know that it's purposely trying to make me uncomfortable because I saw a YouTube video of like Todd Phillips explaining the opening scene of the movie. And he was like, I wanted it to feel like gritty and dark. And I was like, well, duh, bitch, that's cheesy as hell. So do it. And he was like, I wanted it to feel like, oh, what was the fucking word he used? Yeah, I wanted to like make people uncomfortable and like make you like cringe or something to that effect. And I was like, well, that's not very hard. You're the content. First of all, the content and the topics that you're talking about, literally any sane person would feel uncomfortable talking about child abuse and abuse of disabled people and, you know, things like this. Like, most people are going to already feel uncomfortable just by your subject matter alone.
Yeah.
So like, I really would hate to think that you're picking these subject matters because it's edgy, because it's cool, and you want to make like an edgy film. In the woke culture article, he was talking about like he is so used to making edgy comedies, like to pushing the boundaries or pushing the barriers. And I was like, you're just bringing that perspective into this, and it's really just like, you're just making me uncomfortable to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not to like necessarily tell me
not
something.
Not to say something, because there was no clear message.
Because I feel like it'd be really easy for you to like read into this, because the people that were like rioting in the streets or whatever, they were like, oh yeah, fuck the rich people, they've stolen from us, all of that.
Which, I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. So he murders the people on the bus, and someone says they think it was a man with a clown face mask, mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And automatically that means kill the rich?
No. Well, because remember, he's on the talk show with Robert De Niro. And he's like...
But before he did that...
Because they worked for Wayne.
Yeah, they worked for those Wayne Wall Street Enterprise. Guys worked for Wayne.
I know, but so automatic... Like,
it's because Thomas Wayne called poor people clowns on national television. That is why.
That's the piece I was missing.
Also, like Thomas Wayne is terrible. Again, surprise, a rich white man is awful. Wow, Todd Phillips. Is thank you for bringing
awful?
That to my attention, because I didn't know that.
Is he
thank
awful
you.
In the comics?
I don't know. But
I don't know enough about it to know.
I think where the adapted screenplay gets attention is that how it weaves this riot to his parents getting killed again.
Oh, wow. Batman's origins. Again.
How many times have we seen this on
the screen? I
literally
went on, I was like, I've seen his parents die more than I want to in my life.
And it's always, you know what made me laugh so much?
Oh, God.
Well, not like out loud. I was not laughing. I was in pain.
She was laughing uncontrollably.
She was crying.
maybe I wasn't crying, but I was like fucking paralyzed with uncomfortableness. They always, 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 as a sign of them like being rich and like, oh, it's Martha, it's his mother, the fucking pearls like
that's
flying.
That's in the comic.
Yeah, I know, but it's always that thing. And like, okay, yes, I know you're taking this from the origin, but like, be more creative about it. It's always like pearls falling in slow motion. Make them fall a different way. Make them
like a zigzag.
Also, I feel like his parents.
What do you mean by fall in a different way?
I don't know.
What that means.
I'm not a filmmaker, and I don't know.
It's just because you've seen it so many times, you're annoyed.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah,
it's
just
something
like,
with Uncle Ben. Like, I'm
so
tired
trying
of
be,
him dying.
If you were trying to be different,
I was so glad Marvel didn't do that when we got into
thank
Spider-Man.
God.
Yeah. I was like, if I
Kevin
had to watch,
Feige, bless you.
If I had to watch another fucking
I know,
Batman,
Uncle Ben.
I mean, Spider-Man origin story, I was gonna like walk out of the theater.
I was gonna murder everyone. I was oh, probably
the only
best
valid
right now. But.
The only valid new Spider-Man origin story is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That is
Holla,
very valid.
You're right, because
it's not even necessarily
completely different.
Yeah, totally.
Miles Morales, you're the best.
Literally. So like, I feel like as a filmmaker, as a cinematographer, should be.
I hate you so much. I hate you.
We're trying to be professional.
With all the
joy.
Cinnamon in the world. I hate you.
I'm just trying to like not freak out on this podcast. You should be able, as a person making an image, as a person making, taking a fresh look at this story, you should be able to come up with something better.
Also, sorry, the sneeze is right there. I feel like Batman's parents were old.
Mm-mm.
They looked too old to have a son that young.
They looked like in their 60s to have a.
They looked,
you know,
at least
child.
In their 50s, at least.
Well, men having kids young and when they're that old is not unheard of.
But the mom
was
also
old
looked
too.
Maybe they surrogated. Maybe they did.
Yeah, they
stuff.
Could have done that. There's a lot of ways to have a baby on.
I mean, okay.
Also, side note,
like they're rich, so like,
yeah. She probably froze her eggs or something. Who knows?
I'm just noting that they were also old.
Bruce's fair. Treehouse looked amazing. I was like, I want to play in that.
Wait, he had a treehouse?
When? Yeah, whenever
when Arthur walks up.
Yeah, he's like playing in his treehouse. He like slides down the pole and everything, kind of like wow, a nod to the Batcave, you know, that
totally
stuff.
Blacked out.
I was like, that's his treehouse? Oh my God, that's amazing.
I don't remember it either, but that's the only moment.
I don't think Alfred was, because people were like, everyone's rude to Arthur, even Alfred, and he's supposed to be nice. What is, how is he supposed to react? This man he doesn't know is touching this young boy.
This child that Alfred's in care of.
Excuse me? No.
Which then he knows who he is and knows that he's this most likely unstable person.
Yeah.
So I think,
I mean, maybe not as rude as maybe he's a little bit too rude, but
a little his reaction.
But he does need to. Yeah, he was a little aggressive, but he needed to protect.
Yeah, he's protecting this young boy. He's what, like 12, 13 maybe? Yeah. Maybe a little younger. He's like touching his face, like, excuse me, sir. No.
Right.
I don't think so. Alfred is fine. So what did you think about the idea that he is, Arthur is Thomas's son?
Is he though?
I thought that was interesting.
I don't know.
I thought, okay, there's an interesting take. Like that's right. That adds to his anger. That's why he wants to go after the rich.
Adds to his ties.
But then I was like, okay, that makes sense, because then it makes his reasonings have a little bit of weight.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
But then very quickly it turns into, no, he was adopted by his mother.
His mother.
So was he real? And she was crazy, or she was ill.
Mentally ill.
And so she made up the story that he was her father. He was his father. So I'm not sure if he actually was.
So I don't know if the script left it purposely like he's not. And like so I'm unsure, which does not bode well for the screenplay. I don't know.
Sorry, that was disgusting. I wanted to ask you guys about that, but I thought maybe I'm an idiot and I was just going to ask you off. No.
I was thinking like whenever he reads the files and it's like it says that he was adopted. I'm like, okay, so is that definitively telling me that he's not Thomas Wayne's son? Or like, am I supposed to be like, oh, well, she was unstable, so he may not be adopted? Like, I'm confused.
The other theory I had was that he is his son. They did have an affair. And then when she had the child and tried to like claim that he was his child, he put her in the institution and made all of this up.
I can see all that happening.
Right, because he's rich, so he can do that.
Because he's terrible.
And he made up that he was an adopted child.
Right.
Because in the bathroom, he did say, I think he was abandoned at the hospital, and then she adopted him from there.
Yeah.
Which, how the fuck does that happen?
How do they let her adopt that baby? Like, I was very uneasy about that entire thing.
Which confused me even more, which pisses me off even more.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Like, I understand being, like sometimes in a movie or a TV show, like, leaving the ending ambiguous. But, like, leaving plot details ambiguous is just bad writing.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me, and that really bothered me. Because I was like, because like I said, if he is his son, then that gives a little bit of weight to his anger against the rich.
Right. And also, like, to be fair, I'm the first person to be like, fuck rich people, they should share the wealth. But like, I think like that made more sense too, because like, he has a personal vendetta.
And then also what we've talked about before in doing the writing for them is my theory of whatever his name, of Wayne creating all of this because, you know, putting her in the institution and making her believe that she's crazy or whatever. Am I doing the writing for them?
No, yeah.
Exactly.
And I think if it's an instance where we're writing for them, then that's a problem.
Right.
So I read somewhere that Alec Baldwin passed on the role of Thomas Wayne. Can you imagine?
First of all, I can absolutely see him being a rich dick.
100%. I mean,
he literally does that every time.
He popped up in a movie last year doing that. So,
in case you can't tell, we love him. Year, I'm just what? Kidding.
He was in BlacKkKlansman.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oof, that movie. What else was I going to say?
He was not the most important thing I was paying attention to.
I think the only, because again, what I said earlier about like, it's trying to be profound, but it's really not. The only thing that interests me script-wise, I think, was how he's going through all these situations and we don't realize later till it's actually in his head. Like the whole thing with Zazie Beetz, how like,
yeah, that his flow, relationship.
I didn't like the flow of that.
What do you mean?
Like we watched all the this pacing? Happen and then suddenly we're realizing it's all fake. Like, I don't know. It felt
like the pacing of that was weird
to me. Yeah.
I thought the idea of like, well, then what is real was really interesting to me. But then I was like,
but then it never comes back.
That's
later
what
on.
I mean. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is interesting. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess
there's
not
no continuity. There's
why
no continuity.
It felt so gimmicky
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. Because it was just like, it's there. And then we never talk about it again. It was just like a gimmick.
The initial idea was no execution. There's no
there's no follow
through. There's no he's not a closer.
He's not a closer.
No.
Exactly.
Not a closer.
So again, with this adapted screenplay and us writing stuff for them, it's like, oh, because I have this in my notes. His direction. So Todd Phillips as a director feels very basic, very filmmaking 101, because a lot of his shots were very like simple shots. So there was a lot of like the Joker being the center of the screen, and then a lot of perspective lines following towards him. Like obviously he's the main character, so everything, all the lines are going to follow towards him. Those are very easy, very basic, like cinematography 101 shots, photography 101 shots. Like there's nothing different. There's nothing. He didn't do it in like an interesting way, or he didn't do it in like interesting scenes or whatever, which goes back to the what's real or not real used as a gimmick, as a plot device. Because obviously this is his first dramatic turn. So he's seen other people, because he has a lot of friends in Hollywood. He's seen other people like do dramas and write films, and he's like, I can totally do this, whatever. So he's just taking elements of other films that may have been done well. And he's just like, I'm just going to put it in here because this is what I have seen. And I think a good drama is.
And because Hollywood's like high school, they see their friend wanting to do something different and be innovative to himself. And so they're like, oh, I want to support my friend. I want to vote for him. I want to champion his efforts, blah, 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 blah. So it's like, because I think if a friend, like if y'all were to do something outside of yourself, and I would want you to do well, and I'd vote for you and I want you to win. So like,
even because, if it was shit?
Well, no, but no, but I can.
I feel like in a circle, there's enough honesty. We would tell each other, hey, guys, that sucks.
But, well, in so many words, yes. But like, I can see why he's getting. I feel like that's the majority of it. The Hollywood is like high school. They want to support their friends. They want like, you know, popular kids, popular whatever. And so I feel like that's the main part of it, really.
Yeah, because like the content wise. It's like a topic that could be very like Oscar worthy. It's something,
if it was handled correctly.
If it was handled correctly, I feel like it would be, if it wasn't a character out of a DC comic, it could be more of like an indie movie sort of thing.
Yeah, that goes back to, would this be as successful if it weren't a Batman movie?
Exactly. The other thing is like, production values are obviously really high. He's got a lot of friends. They're gonna throw money into this. And like, so everything's going to look like a beautiful, well-made, fabulous film. But is there enough content to back it up?
I just remembered, I feel like I've been talking about Steven Sondheim so much. But
he's popped up in so many of these films.
Hello. I'm going to talk about him again. He was mentored by Oscar Hammerstein. And when he was first learning to like write his own shows, he was like, take something that's already been made and adapt it. So like take a play and adapt it to a musical. And then he went through like, oh fuck, now that I'm talking, I'm blanking on it. But it was basically like, take something known and change it. Take part of something known and add to it, and then create your own. Like three steps of working with material. And this kind of feels like Todd Phillips doing that, is taking something known.
Which is Batman.
And let me let me try out what I want to try out.
Yeah.
Let me try out this drama thing on this.
Yeah.
So with the Robert Downey Jr. What? Oh my God.
Another comic
Robert
guy.
De Niro. When Arthur is there and he's interviewing him and he starts like to confess, like, why didn't the cameras cut and just, why were they still airing that? Like, what?
Because that's TV gold.
It's terrible. So, and this, I know we...
It's not based on reality, that's why.
Also, like, no one... like I said, I don't want to justify his crimes, but, like, everyone was so terrible to him. And it's awful.
The worst thing is that, like, there's no... I hate to bring up HBO and their TV shows. What the TV show that will not be named. The Home Boob Network. Home Boob Office.
Oh, my God.
That's what I meant.
I know what you meant. I won't name the show because we don't talk about it anymore. But in the early seasons, when there was, like, overly gratuitous violence and overly gratuitous nudity, this felt to me like overly gratuitous abuse. Like, yeah. There was no need for us to see that much of the physical abuse. Like, the first time he got abused, that was enough for me to understand, ouch, this is painful. I feel for this person, and I don't want them to hurt anymore. I feel like there's much more creative ways to show that without being explicit about it, without being gratuitous about it. I feel like it was, I don't know. It was already bad. And we, knowing the story, know it's bad. Within context, like, we already know it's going to be hurtful. It's going to be painful. Everything is very traumatic. Like, I don't feel like we needed to physically see all of those things. I feel like it was just gratuitous.
Yeah, it was a lot. So one of the, another awards that it's nominated for is, sound mixing and editing. I don't think so.
Why?
There was nothing about it that stood out to me. And I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but Uncut Gems is a very well sound edited and sound mixed movie, just because there's so much going on with, so in Uncut Gems, they're having arguments and they're just loud enough and talking over each other just enough to where you're like, you're paying attention, you're like trying to really figure out what's going on, and it's back and forth, and then the gems and all that stuff. Like, it's so what? It's so interesting. And I don't feel...
Are the gems people?
Yes, they are.
That's Steven Universe.
I'm actually just curious.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, the gems are not people.
Like, they're the backup singers. This is Bobby, yes, and the Gems.
It is, right. You're right. It's actually a movie about a band. No, I feel like I didn't notice anything about the editing or mixing in this movie that was like, that stood out to me.
Also, like, could it also be that we didn't notice sound editing and mixing or costumes because we were so like
stressed
and uncomfortable by the whole movie that we couldn't really pay attention to anything other than how fucking
uncomfortable,
like,
we were,
uncomfortable, and how much my eyes are just being like, just uncomfortable. There's not another word for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm not a very good person to have much to say on those awards. Because
on those two, I go to Crystal.
I don't really know what I'm looking for. I don't know what I'm listening out for. I feel like that would be like something I would have to pick up on like a second or third watch.
Right.
Of like really just like a technical paying watch. Attention to the bits that aren't... main story,
right?
Like, not like the big going picture, back but and the listening specifics. To the music of Marriage Story because I didn't notice it.
Oh, garbage. Yeah, but fucking hate that score.
But this movie, it was the score was definitely a character. It definitely built,
and that's what I thought. It was the score was, I think it was very barely a secondary character to the Joker. I feel like it could have been like an even character. If this was a title card, it would be Joker score. And those are the two names that would be on there.
I haven't heard all of these scores, but it's definitely Joker is my favorite score.
I think beautiful.
It's excellent. It is.
It's beautiful.
Fantastic. And what's cool about that is like Hilda takes a couple of notes from the movie The Dark Knight. What's his name? Chris Nolan. Mm-hmm. And she starts off a song kind of similar to that movie score and then kind of weaves it into something different. It was very interesting. I feel like she put a lot more thought into her score than others. The director of the movie did. But it's my favorite. Because, like I said, I love Little Women, but the score is... It can't be Uncut Gems. It's got to be this movie to me.
I love the points where, like, the strings, because it's very string heavy, as you said. I love it when it's, like, screeching strings, when it's, like, the really tense notes on there that are not supposed to be.
And those low notes. Yes.
And they're elongated notes, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was beautiful. It created such an atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. It was doing a lot of work. It was doing a lot of the work.
No, 50% of the work. For sure.
50 Cent. Yeah. So I think wrapping this
up. I think that's all I have, yeah.
In a Time review by Stephanie Zacharek, her final, she was talking about it being nominated for awards and how disappointed she would be if it went home with a bunch of golden statues. But she said, "Your instincts are the only golden thing that matters." And I loved that because she was talking about, like, instinctually people are going to love this or they're going to hate it, which is... back to a smart movie for dumb people. And I just love that your instincts are what are gold.
That's a good, like, life motto, though, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I really liked that. Any final thoughts, Joy?
Other than I just started watching, I just watched the pilot and the second episode of You. Netflix, and part of this movie, whenever he's like stalking his neighbor, I was like, wow, that's exactly what this is. I'm getting 100% creeper vibes. Yeah. This is really uncomfortable. This is not okay to do to people. Stalk them.
I love that in his mind, she was just like cool with it. Like, okay, I'll come to your comedy show. Thanks for stalking me. Bye. Yeah.
When I didn't know it was in his mind at first, I was like, wow, he can get someone and I can't? Wow. This sucks.
Well, I was like, Zazie, girl, you could do so much better.
And then I thought, Zazie, girl, lock your door. What are you doing? What is happening?
I wasn't sure if he, like, just came in because it was unlocked or if he, like, broke in.
He probably broke in because we don't see...
We don't see that.
We don't see that.
He's not a trusted narrator.
No. Not at all. God in heaven.
Which also, again, if they had played with that idea, I think it would have been more interesting.
But he doesn't have... Anyways, Todd Phillips sucks. That's the moral of that story. Anyway,
your final thoughts, Crystal?
If you are not a sensitive person, then you can watch this, I think. This is not a movie that I would seek out, even if it wasn't clowns. Like, this entire... The idea of, like, seeing someone be beaten down until they, like, retaliate is not something that I want to see ever. I don't have a problem with, like, emotional, like, dramatic stories if it's told well. But I feel like this is not... I'll never see this again. I never want to see it again.
No.
Do I think it deserves to be here? Yes, but not because of Todd Phillips and not because of that script. Because of Joaquin Phoenix and the score. That's all. Where it fits in the line of best pictures that I've seen so far... Holy moly, let me look real quick. It's not my top pick, obviously.
Number one.
But it's not the bottom either.
Yeah.
It's maybe in the middle, maybe bottom towards middle, maybe. Middle towards bottom, does that make sense?
For me right now, it's at the bottom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you liked at least the Marriage Story more?
Yeah.
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 I feel like Marriage Story was like so boring compared to this. Because at least this had, like...
I'll take it over this.
I just think that score was, like, just so dramatic. Like, I just listen to the score all day. The score's...
No, the score, 100%. I'm on board with the score taking home the award. And I want that for this movie. I want that for her.
That for Hilda. Yeah.
Yeah, she'll be the first female winner if she wins this.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
My God, I hate the Academy Awards. Yeah.
Fuck the awards. Fuck all the awards. No.
Yeah.
Speaking
of garbage.
Joy, where does it fall on your list?
Okay, let me look at the list again. Okay, so I have such a back and forth with this movie, obviously, as I have already explained. I think it does have a certain quality that, yes, it should be here.
Okay.
Because of its, just for purely quality alone, not necessarily the points it made with the story, but just for quality.
Even for quality cinematography, film. I would give
quality,
it.
Quality yeah. film.
I like this. There was.
I would not.
There were some really? Great shots.
There were some. Yeah, not the whole thing.
I but, feel like it's very generic, like slow pan shots that are used to create tension and build time and whatever. As basic. This is as basic as you could get with shots. But that's just me. This movie just makes me so upset because like I don't. It's not like it's good, but it's not good.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like it's good. As in, there's money behind it, and it was well made.
Yeah.
Minus script and direction. But it's not good because the story is like has so many issues. There's so many holes in this. Not so holes, even. But just issues. On my list of things that I've seen... I'm not dying. On the list of things that I've seen, because now I've seen more than last time. Ooh, okay. E... It is not at the bottom.
Okay.
But it's definitely into the top.
This comment I'm going to say about this movie is going to go with another one we're going to watch later, but it's a well-made bad movie, I think. Joker.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'll say that about another one we watch later. Or we talk about later. But yeah.
Anna, final thoughts.
My final thoughts are I wish I would have done this somewhere else than at the very end, but here's some Oscar trivia.
Woo, it's trivia time. Yes, bitch, I've been waiting for this. Let's okay. go.
We need a theme song.
Do, 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 yeah. do, do, do. It's Oscar trivia.
Woo.
Yeah.
What was the first color film to win an Academy Award for Best Picture?
Wizard of Oz.
No.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Gone with the Wind.
Oh. Right. What year was that?
Do you 1967.
Have it? I don't. I have that somewhere else.
Okay.
When Walt Disney won an Academy Award for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 1938, he was also presented with seven mini statues. True or false?
Seven mini statues?
Uh-huh.
False.
I'm going to say yeah. True.
True.
What the fuck?
For each of the dwarfs.
Well, I figured that's what it was, but it just sounds too silly to be true. Like, they would never do that today.
What was the first film to win the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature?
Oh.
I got this wrong when I was looking at these.
I know the answer to another related question, but that's
Snow
not
White?
No. Because they didn't have animated feature until, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe something like that?
What?
Yeah.
Close. Toy Story 3. No?
Okay. It was Shrek.
Wow.
I fucking love Shrek.
Yeah, because
like 20 deserved years ago.
Because Beauty and the Beast was the first animated movie to ever be nominated for Best Picture.
Oh.
So they were like, oh, let's create another award for animation.
What the hell? I thought for sure it was Toy Story.
I didn't know it was that recent.
Yeah, it's a recent award.
So how many years ago you said? Or what year was it?
I think Shrek was like 2000, 2001. Like that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's why I don't ever win a Best Picture, because they have their own category.
Interesting. But,
which famous dancing duo danced for the last time together at the 1966 Academy Awards ceremony?
I have no idea.
Was it Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers?
Yeah.
Yes!
They shared their last dance there on stage.
I know something.
And that's my Oscar trivia for this episode.
Woo! Oh my God, that was awesome. I'm so happy about
so
this.
Awesome.
Thanks. The best part of this podcast. Thanks
for listening.
Lovely. Anna.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Do Academy Awards trivia.
Woo!
stay tuned for our next episode
we
of
got through it,
Conversations with Oscar.
Joker is over. We're done.
We did it.
We never talk about it again.
Happened. We're having some sound difficulties.
Shit.
Sheet
mask. We don't have to talk about it till Oscar night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.